Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav David Siben Rav Yosef, as well as for a continued fourth time of Dov Meir Ben Mendel. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Pei Dalad. We left off at the very bottom of Pei Gimel Beis at the words Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. The Mishnah was talking about a husband that for whatever reason wants to get out of, he's being mochel, he's giving up some of the rights that either the Torah or the rabbis, that's going to be one of the key points of today's shir. Is this something that the Torah says he can have or the rabbis say he could have? But either way, he's trying to get out of it. So the very last line of the Mishnah was talking about a case where a guy says, he looks at the fields that he's supposed to get for Nechse Malug, that he gets to eat the fruit off of, and he says about those fields, he says to his wife, Dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayich ubeperoseim ubeperei peroseim ad olam b'chayech v'achar moseich. So he says, I don't want to have anything to do with this fruit, not during your lifetime, and even after you die, which means he's sort of getting out of his rights to be able to inherit the field. He's getting out of his rights to be able to inherit the field. So the question is, does that work or not? What do you mean, doesn't it work? He said he doesn't want it. Of course it works. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't work. He still gets it, even though he's trying to get out of it. Why? So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, the reason why it doesn't work is because you're making a condition against that which it says in the Torah. That you're not allowed to make a condition against the Torah. That's called Masna Amash Kozba Torah. So the Torah says that a husband inherits the wife. And you're saying you don't want to inherit the wife. Well, you're not allowed to make a condition against that which has in the Torah. Now, there's some opinions that say that when it comes to monetary law, you are allowed to make a condition, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems to not hold that way. He says even by monetary law, you cannot make a condition against that which it says in the Torah. So that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now the Gemara is going to see, trying to analyze, do we follow this or not? Halacha l'maaseh or not? Good morning, David Yoshua and Jeremy and Svika. And Chanuch Chanuch, and Avi, and Dr. Joe, and Harav Eliezer Dov, and Shlomo David. Here we go. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, v'lo mitameh. So Rav says, we follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not because of his reasoning. He tells you the reason is because it's Mas Namash Kosabat Torah. So we follow him that the husband is not able to get out of. We do follow him that the husband is not able to get out of the inheritance, but not because of the reason that he said, rather because of a different reason. Good morning, Gershon Eitan, says the Gemara. My halacha of Shimon Gamliel v'lo mitameh. What did Rav mean when he said we follow Shimon Gamliel, but not because of his reason? Ilei malacha of Shimon Gamliel damar imesa yirashena. We do follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who said that if the woman dies, the husband does inherit the field, but v'lav mitame, but it's not because of his reasoning. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, if you make a condition against the Torah, your t'nai is null and void, and that's why he says that his t'nai to not want to inherit her does not work. V'rav savar. And Rav holds, like Rabbi Yehudu says, that mas lamash kasa b'torah b'dovrishe b'mamon, if it's something has to do with money, to know kayam, that the Tanai works. But here, he says, v'kasava yirush tisabal dirabanan, and he holds that the inheritance of the husband is not a din doraisa, rather it's a din dirabanan. Good morning, Rav Mordechai. It's a din doraisa, not a din dirabanan. Wow. So, the Gemara is suggesting at this juncture that Rabbi Yehuda holds that, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it's not a good inheritance because Mas Namash Kosev B'Torah Tino Batam. Rabbi Yehuda holds Mas Namash Kosev B'Torah B'Dovishim B'Mamon if it's monetary law. Right, and the logic makes a lot of sense why by monetary law. He's just being mochel. He's being mochel on the rights that the Torah gives him. So he says, so Rabbi Yehuda holds, really, Rav holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Dabashim Mamon, to know is Kayim, but over here, he holds that the inheritance of the husband is not a din d'oraisa. Doesn't say it anywhere explicitly in the Torah. Yesterday we quoted that there's a drasha, the Gemara Bava Basra has a drasha, but let's say he holds that's an asmachta. So it's not a din d'oraisa. It's only a din d'rabbanan, and chachamim also chizik l'dvayim yosef mishal Torah. Wow. Sometimes you find that the rabbis are going to strengthen a din d'rabbanan more than a din d'oraisa. So that a din d'rabbanan is going to have more power than a din d'oraisa. So here, maybe the inheritance of the husband is a din d'rabbanan, but the chachamim said we're going to strengthen it more than a d'oraisa, and therefore the guy cannot be mochel. Why would the rabbis sometimes strengthen their words more than a din? More than a din d'oraisa, because people generally don't take the words of the rabbis as seriously. The Torah. So sometimes the rabbis have to go the other direction and say our words are going to be more strict than a din d'oraisa because of because people don't take seriously the din of the rabbanan. No, Rav holds it's a din d'rabbanan, and the rabbis strengthen their words more. So that's why you're not allowed to get out of it. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds you're not allowed to get out of it because it's mas namach because it's Torah because it's din d'oraisa. Rav holds it's a din d'rabbanan, but the rabbis strengthen their words longer and stronger, and that's why you can't get out of it. Says the Gemara, really? V'sava Rav t'no kayam. Rav really holds mas namach because it's Torah. It really is a good condition. The ha'itmar, but we know there was a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Ha'omer lechaveru, amanas she'en lecha alai ona'a. Let's say a guy is selling something to his friend, and he's severely overcharging him. And he says, listen, I'm selling it to you, even though I know the market value of this thing is $1,000. I'm telling you, this is way above market value. Now, there's a halacha called ona'a. Ona'a means if you sell something to somebody, and if you sell it to him for more than 1/6, you're trying to fake him out and steal from him. You're overcharging him. If it's more than 1/6, so then the mekach is batel. If it's less than 1/6, it's okay. If it's exactly 1/6, so then the sale works, but you have to give back the extra. That's the halacha of ona'a, lo sonu ishas amiso. So, but a guy selling it, he says, listen, I didn't check out the prices. This is what I want, this amount of money I want. I'm selling this to you on the condition that the laws of ona'a should not apply to this. Oh, so this is a classic case of masna amasha kasam batorah, b'davisha b'mamon. It's by a monetary law. Are you allowed to make a condition against Doris? So, listen, this is the deal. I'm giving you the deal. So, ha'om l'chaver amanashe l'cha alai ona'a. Rav amar yesh lo alav ona'a. Rav says, you can't make a condition against the Torah. So you see here, black on white, Rav holds mas l'mashkos Torah, even b'davashim b'mamon, t'no'o batel. Not t'no'o kayim. The t'nai doesn't work. Rav amar yesh lo alav ona'a. Shmuel amar ein lo alav ona'a. Shmuel is the one who says that the t'nai works. So Gemara says, okay, so that can't be the explanation of Rav, because you see here black on white that Rav holds that you cannot make a condition against the Torah even by a din d'rabbanan. So what in the world did Rav mean over here that the halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, but not because of his logic? Says Gemara, Ella, what did he mean? Halach of Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar Hamas, the Mashkos of Torah, t'no batal. I do agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel who says that if you make a condition against a din in the Torah, the Tanai is batel. Okay, so that's exactly what. So how come it's not mitame? The lav mitame di Rabbi Shimon Gamliel savar mesa yirashena. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that if she dies, he does not inherit. If she dies, he inherits her. For Rav savar mesa lo yirashena. Rav holds he does not inherit her. Because it's only a din d'rabbanan, and the rabbis did not strengthen their words. Says the Gemara, "Hi, mitame v'lo kehilchasehu." So, what did Rav say? He passes like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not from his reason. This is the opposite. He doesn't pass like him, and he does agree to his reasoning. Says Gemara, "Ella, no, that's not what it means." Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. Question is, what in the world was Gemara thinking to give that answer? It's obviously not correct. But anyway, Ella. Halacha, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar, it may say Yerushana. No. Rav really agrees with Shimon Gamliel that the husband cannot extract himself from the din of inheritance. If she dies, he does inherit her, like Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'lav mitame, but Rav uses a different logic than Rishim Galil. Dilo Rishim Galil Savar, he says the reason it does work is like he says, because the Yerusha of the husband is Doraisa, and it's Masna Masha Kosa Bat Torah. B'Doraisa Tno Batal, Habid Rabbanan, but Rav Shim Galil would hold by Din Rabbanan, Tno Kayim. Rav Savar, Afilu B'Drabbanan, Tno Batal. Rav holds even by Din Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? So then Rav is agreeing to the logic of Rav Shim Galil. Hai mitame uki ilchaseihu, for Rav Mosef was just adding on extra to him, but he's not disagreeing. So the Gemara says, oh, okay, this is what it meant to say. This is going to be the final answer, I think. Ela, halach Rav Shim Galil, damar emei seyu hashenav, halav mitame, why is it not like his reasoning? Dil Rav Shim Galil, savar, Yerushas habal do raisa. Rav Shim Galil holds the husband inherits me daraisa, v'chala masa mashkos b'tor to no batel, even by a darvish of a mamon, you're not allowed to make a condition against the daraisa. V'rav savar Yerusha ba midrabanan. Rav holds Yerusha ba midrabanan, but also a drabanan you can't make a condition against. V'chacham asa chizik l'vrayim, kishel Torah. Just like you can't, not that the chacham made a condition against, even more than Torah, but here we have an expression of called the tikkun rabbanan kein doraisa tikkun, that just like you can't get out of a din doraisa, you also can't get out of a din derabbanan. The chacham also chizuk dereyim kishel Torah. The chachamim said, so why is it not according to his reasoning? They both agree to the halacha, but Rav Shimon said it's a din doraisa, you can't make a condition against the doraisa, and Rav said it's a din derabbanan. But you also can't make a condition against the Dindarabban. So he agrees with the halacha, but for a different reason. Rav Shim Galil said it's a Doraisa, and he says it's the Rabbanah, but they both agree you can't. Rav Shim Galil says you can't make a condition against the Doraisa, and Rav says you also can't make a condition against the Dindarabban. Fine. Says the Gemara, the Rav Savar Yerusha Zabal Dindarabban. Really? Does Rav really hold that the husband inheriting the wife after she dies is only a Dindarabban? But we learned the Mishnah in Mechoros by Yovel. Question is, if a husband inherits fields from his wife, does he have to give them back to the wife's family at Yovel? So, what do you mean? I mean, if he inherits, so why in the world would he have to give it back at Yovel? You don't give back that which you inherit at Yovel. You give back, if you buy a field, you have to give it back at Yovel. It goes back to the original owners, but if you inherit, you get to keep it. So what's going on? Oh, but if you say the inheritance is the Rabbanon, maybe you have to give it back. So let's see. Says Gemara, Rav Savar Shabbat the Rabbanan Vatanan. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah Bechoros? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer Hayoish es Ishto. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says a man who inherits his wife Yaksir Livnei Mishpacha. So at Yovel, he has to return the property that he inherited for her. He has to return it to her kids at Yovel. Wow! And then they have to pay him back for it. They have to pay him back, but he has to give it back to them. But they don't have to pay the full price for it. We'll see why in a minute in the Gemara. But a small amount of the value they can detract. Let's say if the field was worth $10,000, they're only going to pay him $9,000 for it. Yinak lehemin adamim. V'havina ba. And we ask against this Mishnah, my kasavar. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka hold over here? Ikasava Yerusha Baal Doraisa. If he holds that the inheritance of the husband is Doraisa, why in the blazes is he giving it back at Yovel? He owns it. He owns it 1,000%. He doesn't have to give it back at all. Amay Yachsir. He owns it. Right? If you inherit something, you don't return it at Yovel. V'i Drabanan. And if Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holds that the inheritance of the husband is only a Din Drabanan, so it's almost like it's a sale. Midoraisa doesn't get it at all, so he's got to return it at Yovel. Domim Maya Vidatayu. Why do the kids have to pay? They don't have to pay. If they're going to get the field back, they should get it back. They don't have to pay for it. For Amar Rav, and Rav explains the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, La'olam kasava yushza ba'al doraisa. Really, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holds that the inheritance of the husband is in doraisa. Uchagon shaho rishaso. Ishto beis akvaros. There is an exception to the rule of inheritance. It means that he inherited from his wife the wife's family cemetery. Umishim pagam mishpacha. And the reason why he returns it at Yovel, there's a special halacha that the rabbi said he should have to return, even though it's his, he should return it to her family so that they'll be able to bury their dead people in the same cemetery. Apparently, there's an inyan that a family should be buried in the same cemetery, and it would be embarrassing if the members of the family are not able to be buried in the same cemetery. Amar Rabbanon Lishkol Demei V'Lehedah. So the rabbis made a takana, return it to her family and let them pay you back, so at least they'll be able to bury their family members in the cemetery. Says Gemara, Umayinak Leminadam. So why does it say if it was worth 10,000, you only charge them 9,000? Because the husband's obligated to pay for the burial of his wife. So for that little bit, they don't have to pay because that's on him. That's on him. Says the Gemara, Demei Kever Ishto. How do we know this? Kidusanya, like going to the Braisa, Hamocher Kivro, Viderech Kivro, Ma'amado, Umakam Espedo, Bon B'nei Mishpacha, V'Kovin Oso Baal Korcho, Mishum Pekam Mishpacha. If a person sells the family grave plot, so we like to have the family buried together, and even the place that they did a hesped, and the place that they did nechama there, so they can go and they can bury their own dead body against the will of the new owners because of pagam mishpacha. Oh, so at any rate, what do we see from here? We see from here that Rav holds Yerushas HaBaal is Doraisa. The whole answer we gave before is Rav held Yerushas HaBaal is the Rabbanan. Here you see black on white. Rav holds Yerushas HaBaal is Doraisa. Answer the Gemara, the obvious answer, Rav l'tamid Rav Yochanan Baruch Amar v'lei lo sfir lei. Now, when Rav was giving this explanation in the opinion of Rav Yochanan Baruch Amar, it's not that Rav himself held this way. He was explaining why Rav Yochanan Baruch Amar said what he said. But he himself really holds Yerushas HaBaal is the Rabbanan. He was just explaining that Rav Yochanan Baruch Amar held Yerushas HaBaal d'Oraisa. That's why he has to return the field at Yovel, meaning even though he shouldn't have returned the field because he holds Yerushas HaBaal d'Oraisa, but since it was a cemetery, that's why they made a special condition. Good.
The wife's family can't bury until Yovel or up until Yovel?
They can't bury their kids. Sounds like right. He inherit. Oh, that's a good point. It's a very good point. Why can't they do it even before Yovel?
And Yovel just takes the bones.
They rebury. Okay. No, but according to what we learn later, you can bury against the will. No? That you should be able to bury against their will. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it means if they didn't do it against their will, then you give it back to them willingly at Yovel. Like, Eina Chanami, they could have done it earlier also. Interesting question. I don't know. All right, let's continue. Says the Mishnah. Mi shemes v'hiniach isha ubalchov v'yarshin. So a guy dies, and there's three people who want his property. He owed somebody money. He owes his wife a ksuba, his wife's family ksuba, because she died before him. So, I'm sorry. It's just opposite. He dies now, so one of the things, right? He's got to pay ksuba. When the husband dies, he's got the estate has to pay the ksuba. So there's three people who want the money. The inheritors want their money. His creditors want money. And his wife wants money to ksuba. So what order do we go in terms of paying people back? Mishemes v'nech isha ubalchov v'yorshin. V'hayalo pikadon omilva biyad acherim. And this guy had either a milva, a loan that somebody owed him, or a pikadon that somebody owed him. Let's say he had a golden kiddush cup that he was giving somebody else to watch for him. So he has these things coming. So what do we do with these things that are owed to him, but now he owes them to others? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, even though usually movable objects, there's no lien on. Nevertheless, since the Yorshim did not have their hands on it at the time that he died, so the Baal Chov and the Isha are allowed to collect from this loan and or the pikadon, the security that he had in the hands of somebody else. V'inasnu l'kol shel shebehen. Rabbi Tarfon says, you give the security, meaning the golden kiddush cup, or the loan, you give them to the weaker of the two. We'll see what that means. The weaker of the Baal Chov or the woman. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. That's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Merachamim Bedin. Rabbi Akiva says, you can't be merciful when it comes to judgment. There's a halacha here. What do you mean? You give it to the weaker one? Who gets it? Ella, Yinasnu L'Yorshin. You give it to the inheritors. Shekulan, Tzrichin Shvua. Because the Yorshin are more muchzak in these things, because a Baal Chov and the woman both need to swear that the husband didn't pay them while he was alive. So they need to swear from the Yisomen. And if they didn't swear, then they have no shaychus to these properties, because we don't even know if we owe them. Vein ayarshin tzrichin shvua. And the inheritance don't need a shvua. They get the inheritance right away. And therefore, they inherit first. And if the Baal Chov and the woman want to collect from the Yarshin, they got to swear. But since he doesn't have to swear and they do have to swear, so therefore, he gets it right away. So again, Rabbi Tarfon says, the weaker of the Baal Chov or the woman get it. And Rabbi Akiva, we'll see what the relationship between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is going to come up in the Gemara right now. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, it goes to the inheritors, and if the woman or the Baal Chov want to collect from the inheritors, they're going to have to swear to collect. They're going to have to swear that dad didn't pay us. He didn't pay us off. Says the Gemara. And now we have another, says the Mishnah, another machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Hiniach peros tlushim min hakarka. If a person dies and he leaves over fruit, just metaltalin. He leaves over fruit that's metaltalin. Right, the Gemara is going to explain, it's going to be very important, where were these fruit? Because if the fruit was in his fields, then the Yisomim would get it. So where was this fruit that the Yisomim didn't get them? So hiniach peros tlushim min hakarka, and they did not come to the possession of the Yisomim yet. Wow. Anyone who grabs it, whether it's the Baal Chov grabs it or the woman grabs it, whoever grabs it gets it. I'll have to see why in the Gemara. Zachsa Isha Yoser Miksubasa. Let's say the woman grabbed more than she was entitled to. Ubal Chov, Yoser Al Chova, or the Baal Chov grabbed more than he was owed. Hamosar, what do you do with the leftover? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinasnu L'Koshel Shebehen. Rabbi Tarfon says, you give it to the weaker among them. Rabbi Kiva says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Merachim Bedin. You don't give the food to the weaker. Yinasnu L'Yarshim. Here also, Rabbi Kiva is consistent. In both cases, he says, give it to the inheritors. Because as soon as the father died, this belongs to the Yarshim. Shekulam tzrichim shvua v'ena yoshim tzrichim shvua. To the same logic. Let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Lamali lemiste milva, lamali lemiste pikadon. Why in the first case of the Mishnah did we have to list both the case of a loan that was owed to the dead dad and the golden kiddush cup that he lent to somebody else? Says the Gemara, tzricha. You need both cases. Ditana milva, if it would have only said a case of a loan, but how come Rabbi Tarfon Mishim? Maybe I understand why over there Rabbi Tarfon said that you give it to the Baal Chov or the woman and not the Yisomim, Bishum Demilva Lo Tzadnina, because Milva alone is made to be spent, which means the loan clearly has no connection to the orphans. It's not their loan. It's made to be spent by the lenders, by the borrowers. Aval Pikadon de Isabeina, but the Kiddush cup that he gave to somebody else, this belongs to the father, the dead father. Ema modele the Rabbi Akiva. You might think Rabbi Tarfon agrees to Rabbi Akiva. By pikadon, it goes to the Yarshim because this belonged to dad, so it goes to the Yarshim. Vitana ha. If if it would have only said only Pikadon, Bahakam Rabbi Akiva, maybe that's the only place Rabbi Akiva says goes to the Yorshin. Avobach, but the case of a loan, which is made to be spent, and really the dad didn't own it at all, so the inheritors don't inherit it at all. Maybe Rabbi Tafra, maybe Rabbi Tafra does not go to the inheritors. Tzricha, that's why we need both. Now, says Gemara, my lakosha, what did Rabbi Tafra mean that we give it to the weaker of the two? The woman or the Baal Chov? Who's considered to be weaker? Says the Gemara, it's a machlokas amoroyim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Omer, lakosha sheberaya. Whoever has a weaker proof, what does that mean? Whoever's document is dated later. Whoever's that left between the Baal Chov and the woman, right? So if the loan happened before the guy was married, so then the woman gets the his raya is stronger, so the other one gets the money. But if the woman was married first and then the Baal Chov happened later, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. So whoever is later is called the weaker one. Because the one who has an earlier claim has a stronger claim. Because it's earlier. So if the marriage, the ksuba in the marriage happened before the loan, then the guy with the loan will get it. He's weaker. But if the loan happened before the ksuba, then the ksuba is later, she's weaker, so she'll get it. Whoever's later has a weaker claim because the earlier the claim is, the more of the property is mortgaged to pay for that claim. So that's Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, come on, that's not what weaker means. Weaker doesn't mean later. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. Who's the weaker? The woman. Subas Isha. Mishum China. Because it's much harder for the woman to collect. She doesn't know where's his property, where's he going to collect from. And therefore, Mishum China. We want the women to want to marry men and for the men to agree to marry them and the women to agree to get married. And we're afraid if you make it hard for the woman to collect her ksuba, she's not going to want to get married. Says the Gemara, Kit Tanoi. This machlokas amaroim is like another machlokas tanoim. Rabbi Binyamin Omar lakol shel shebaraya vehu kosher. Rabbi Binyamin said that the proper way to do this is to give it to the person with the weaker proof. The later document, Avelaz Omer Luxubas Isha Mishum Chinah. Now the Mishnah said, Hiniach Peros Atlushin. The Mishnah said, if the guy left over fruit that was detached from the ground, this was the second case. Rabbi Tarfon say, right. So then. Rabbi Tafa said, whoever grabs it, gets it. And the leftovers, Rabbi Tafa says you give it to the weaker, Rabbi Akiva says you give it to the Yorshin. Says the Gemara, for Rabbi Akiva, my ir yamosar, why does Rabbi Akiva say that the leftovers are given to the Yorshin? Kulunami the Yorshin havu. Even the main fruit should be given to the Yorshin. And Tfisa shouldn't work. Because the reason why Rabbi Akiva says is because they don't have to swear. And the other two have to swear. So they should get the regular stuff. Says the Gemara, you're right. In a chinami, you're right. Rabbi Akiva also disagrees with the main fruit, not just the leftovers. But since Rabbi Tarfon said his halacha by the extras, so Rabbi Akiva argued him by the extras. Says the Gemara. V'Rabbi Akiva, tfisa lo mahani klal. Did Rabbi Akiva say that grabbing it would not work at all? Meaning, even while he's alive, grabbing it wouldn't work. Amarav Nachman. No. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree that grabbing it works while the husband's alive. V'husha tafas mechayim. If somebody's owed money and the guy doesn't pay, and you grab, so if the malve grabs the loan during the lifetime of the lover, Rabbi Akiva agrees that works. He's owed the money. The Mishnah only says that grabbing it doesn't work only if he grabs after the borrower dies. Like he said, because that goes to the Yarshim. He has to swear. Says the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Tarfon. Now, contrary to Rabbi Tarfon, who said that grabbing the fruit works, if it didn't come to the hands of the Yarshim, when the dad died, why doesn't the stuff belong to the Yarshim? Where was it? It was standing somewhere that the Yarshim didn't get it. Deman Chihecha, where was this fruit? Rabbi Shmuel Damar Tavaya, Vushitzu Nachum Rishus HaRabim. It's in the public domain. It's piled up in a public domain, and therefore the inheritors don't get it. Because you can't make a kinyan. It doesn't automatically go to their possession. Avol Besimta, but if there would be on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, where you can make a kinyan, lo. So Rabbi Tarfon would say that the creditor or the woman who grabbed it, if it was there, it does not work because there it belongs to the Yarshim. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Darmer Tavayo Afilu Besimta. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say no. Even if it was in a side alley, so the Baal Chov and the woman can grab it. How do we pass an Allah Chalamaisa? The Don Dayane, there was a story came up and the judges paskind Kirabi Tarfon that they were allowed to grab it. The Hajar Rish Lakish loved the Minayu. But then Rish Lakish backed out. He returned it. Because Rish Lakish says, we follow Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Akiva said they cannot grab it once the husband died. Or once the creditor, once the loved died. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Asisa Kishel Torah. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, you're telling me that Rabbi Akiva's words are like a dindo rice, like a halacha Moshe Mesinai? In other words, why are you following Rabbi Akiva so much so that you're even going to return it if somebody else grabbed it? What do you mean? Maybe it should have just been the halacha is like in Lechatchila. But if somebody grabbed and wants to pass the Rabbi Tarfon, why won't you let them pass the Rabbi Tarfon that they're allowed to grab? Says the Gemara, Lema. Now, what are they arguing about over here? What are Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish arguing about? What happened over here? Rish Lakish said we follow Rabbi Akiva, and therefore you're not allowed to grab, and even if somebody grabs, we return it. And Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, follow Rabbi Akiva, but b'di'evit, if someone grabbed, we're going to rely on Rabbi Tarfon. Lema b'alka miflagi, demar savar tabid var mishna chozer, demar savar tabid var mishna ena chozer. If a judge makes a mistake about an obvious din, does the court case go back or not? Says Gemara, lo. That's not what they're arguing about. Everyone agrees if a judge makes a mistake about an obvious halacha that we do not allow the person to keep the money. You give back the money, the judge made a mistake. This is what they're arguing about over here. Mar savar halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro velo merabo. One person says, we follow Rabbi Akiva against another rabbi, but Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. So even though we usually follow Rabbi Akiva against any other rabbi, but not against his Rebbe, Reish Lakish says, Volome Rabbo. I'm sorry, right? That's Rabbi Yochanan. Umar Savar Reish Lakish holds no. Halacha afilu me Rabbo. That we follow Rabbi Akiva even against his Rebbe. And therefore, if somebody grabs it, Lachar Misa, it does not work. That's one answer. Another explanation of Yochanan Reish Lakish is the Kulei Amalach Rabbi Akiva Mechaver of Alomei Rabbo. Everyone agrees that you follow Rabbi Akiva against everybody, but not against his Rebbe. What are they arguing about over here? Mar Sava Rabbi Yochanan holds Rabbi Tarfon Rabbohoy. Rabbi Yochanan holds Rabbi Tarfon was really his Rebbe, and therefore we follow Rabbi Tarfon. And Omar Sava Reish Lakish says no. Rabbi Tarfon was not Rabbi Yochanan's was not Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Chaver Ohava, he wasn't his Rebbe. He was just another rabbi, and we always follow Rabbi Akiva against his friends. That's the second answer. And the third answer is, everyone agrees that he wasn't his Rebbe. He was just, they were just friends. Mar savar halacha itmar. Reish Lakish holds that when we say halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, that we actually pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Mar savar Yochanan says, we don't actually follow Rabbi Akiva, Matin itmar, that lechatchilo we pass like Rabbi Akiva, but not that it's absolute like him. Lechatchilo we pass in that way, but b'di'evet, if you want to pass in against him, you can. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to tell some stories about this. Unbelievable stories. Kreve the Rabbi Yochanan. The relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, toughest part of the Asma Misimta, they grabbed, right? They were owed money by a guy, and the guy died, and the guy had a cow in a simta, in an alleyway, on the side of the Shasaram, which is exactly the area that they argued about. And they were his relatives. Also came to Rabbi Yochanan. So they came from Rabbi Yochanan, who held, you're allowed to grab. Amalom Shabbat Tavastua. Rabbi Yochanan said, great job. You were allowed to grab it because we follow Rabbi Tarfon. Also came to Rishim and Lakish. They came in front of Reish Lakish. Amalahu Zilu Ahadar. Sorry. Give it back. You weren't allowed to grab. Because we follow Rabbi Akiva, who said you're not allowed to grab in that kind of a case. So they came back in front of their relative Rabbi Yochanan. Amalahu, ma eset shekeneg di chalok alai. What could I do? Reish Lakish argues with me, and I cannot reverse his decision. Very strange. So some say what it means is that Tosa Srid writes that Rabbi Yochanan backed out on his opinion and held like Reish Lakish. But Rashi seems to say not that way. He said it's a suffix. It's machlokas. So, once they grabbed based on Rabbi Yochanan's say so, they should keep it. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's good that they grabbed, because once you grabbed, I'm not going to take it back, even though Reish Lakish disagreed. But Reish Lakish held it was a mistake. All right, so that's a whole machlokas, how he could do this. And let's continue. Says the Gemara, another story. Hahu Bakra Diyasme. Bakra is from the word Bakar, a cattle driver or a cattle shepherd of Yisomim. Ditavse Torah Mine. So some of the creditors of the dad grabbed an ox from them. Balchov Amar Mechaim Tafisle. So the Balchov said, I grabbed it while your dad was alive. Ubakar Malachamisa Tafse. And the cattle driver said, no, you didn't take it. You took it after my dad died. And you have to swear. You're not allowed to just take it from me. Like Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to grab. Also, look, Hamed, Rav Nachman, Omer Le, Isle Sada de Tafse. Do you have Edim that he grabbed it? Omer Le, so the Yisomim, the cattle guy said, Lav, I don't have Edim. Omer Le, well, he's holding on to it. And there's no Edim. Migo de Yachalim al Kuchubiyadi, he would be believed to say, I bought it from your dad. He's believed to say that he grabbed it while the dad was alive. Ask the Gemara, is he really believed to say that he bought it? Things that naturally move around on their own, so you don't have a chazaka if it happens to be in your property, because maybe it just wandered into your property. Says the Gemara, no. Shani Torah de Mesira Leroa. An ox, that rule applies like sheep and goats that jump around. But an ox is usually a big, fat, thick ox. Doesn't just go around. People take it. People lead it. It's not the normal way for it to just mosey around to other people's properties. And therefore, we don't apply that rule. Okay, one more story. The Bei Nesia, the people of the house of the Nasi, Tafas Amos of the Asim Bisimta, they grabbed a maidservant that belonged to the Yisomim. The guy owed them money. He died, so they grabbed one of the servants as a payment for the debt that they were owed from a simta. It was the maid servant was hanging around in the side of the alleyway. They grabbed her. And the Yisomim said, what do you mean? You're not allowed to do that. Yosef, Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchan. Three judges. The Yosef, Rabbi Abba Gabai, Rabbi Abba was there. Amalahu. So one of the judges said to the people of the Nasi, Shaper to Fistua. You were allowed to grab her, like Rabbi Tarfa. Amal Rabbi Abba, Mishum Devei Nesininu Machnafisulahu. Because these people are from the Nasi's house, you're pandering to them, you're giving them the wrong psak because you're trying to give them curry favor with them. V'hadon Dayanik Rabbi Tarfa v'ahadir Reish Lakish of the Minayim. What do you mean? But in the last case, judge is passing Rabbi Tarfa and Reish Lakish passing, you got to give it back. Okay, I think we're going to stop here. Yeah, my brother, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow morning.
for him. Rabbeinu, we've been giving him Merachim Baddin. Makolepo, Rabbeinu, 48 hours.